From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Barnum, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Here in about 25 minutes, we're going to visit with Gabe DeArmond. He is the publisher of the Missouri rival site on the Oath, Verizon Rivals Network, whatever we're called these days. So we'll go to Gabe, talk a little golf, we'll talk some Ohio State, we'll talk some Missouri, I don't know, just kind of shoot the crap with
talk
a buddy.
Talk some Maryland, we'll get his thoughts on what happened at Maryland yesterday, which was fascinating.
That as well. So we'll just kind of shoot the crap with Gabe here in a little bit on the show that is brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Ribs, lunch specials, we know all about those things. You know about the daiquiris that you can get for as little as $3.99. Or 44 ounces if you'd like the really large one to take on your day-to-day next door at the Oxford Crystal, the Pimento Cheese Bites, and much more. So go to Highway 6 West, take care of all those things, and again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it, ask for Corey Clark, tell him what new Ford you're looking for, he'll send you a quote, ask for a couple of quotes, he'll send you a couple of quotes, whatever you want to do. Get your quotes, it's up to you, the rest of it really is. It's you can go shop that quote. Or you can come back to Corey, because the quote that you're going to get is already right to the bottom line. It's streamlined. It's easy. He does it that way. It makes him more efficient, and it can let you have a really efficient car buying experience. You get great service after the sale. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. Delivery options, all of those things. He'll make it happen, and we'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. Mention any of our family of podcasts. It's $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Couple announcements. We've got another football practice availability today. Coverage after that at rebelgrove.com. Also, yesterday, I just kind of stumbled upon this, so I said, what the heck. All of our podcasts are on YouTube now. You can go to the Rebel Grove YouTube page. Subscribe, we would appreciate there. It's completely free. It just alerts you when we have new videos that pop up. It's where we will start putting our post-practice interviews, any other videos that we do with the site, but in an audio version, not a video version at this point, definitely. An audio version of the podcast will be up at YouTube as well. Just giving you another option there for listening. A reminder, we're at SoundCloud, Podbean, on the site, obviously at rebelgrove.com, we're at Spotify, we're at Google Music, and more. Yes?
I don't mind live podcasting this.
Yeah, you're
so
fine.
I'm downloading the YouTube app. That's the YouTube app that I want, just the basic YouTube app. Is that correct?
Yeah, you want just the basic YouTube app, and then we'll figure it out from there.
We have usernames and passwords and
we
such.
We do, yeah. I'll get
You'll have to text those.
Yeah, I'm not gonna shoot those out over the air, but I'll get that to you.
Double-click to install.
Yeah, just install it, put it away, and I'll deal with it before I leave, so... Anyway, we're doing that. I'll be at Funky's with an actual live show. You can look at us. Romero Miller joining us Thursday around 5:30. All audio issues aside, we'll have drink and food specials there. Talk to Romero about many different things, including his travels. He's been all over, frankly, the world over the last year or so. We'll talk a lot of football, obviously, with the former Ole Miss quarterback. He stirred a little bit on social media yesterday, as he had a hat that is not yet available that he was showing off. A lot of people were interested in said hat. So
you're telling me that a former quarterback who probably should have his jersey retired and a statue outside the stadium got access to a hat before other people did?
That is a possibility, yes.
Color me shocked.
Life is not fair, is it, Neil? I would say
that he earned
not everyone's
it.
Equal.
Let me make this clear again, because I know Romero Miller's
We're going to talk about this Thursday, aren't we?
Yes. Okay. He's not the best quarterback to ever play at Ole Miss.
No.
He's not. I don't think even Romero would tell you that he was the best quarterback to play at Ole Miss. He didn't put up the numbers that Eli Manning did.
Or Chad.
And I don't know about Archie and all that stuff. It's a different
time
era.
Time frame, yeah.
Different era. I would argue that he is, without doubt, one of the five most important recruits to ever sign with Ole Miss. And I could make an argument that he's the most important recruit to ever sign with Ole Miss.
He's his era's Bo Wallace. And it was much grander scale.
No, much bigger than that.
Yeah.
Bo helped a program, a team get going.
Yeah.
Romero, frankly, was the first one to make it. Can we just be honest? Without me, I'm always scared to death to do it. He was the first one to make it popular for highly ranked, highly sought after African American kids from Mississippi to go to Ole Miss.
Is he the same class as Terrence and those guys?
Yes.
Okay.
And they all committed after him.
Yeah, there's that video on Facebook for sure. Romero put it the other day of like, I think it's like when they reported for their freshman year, like had a David Kellum thing. You saw all the names and went, wow, that class was pretty cool. So
I think Ken Lucas was in that class.
Was he? Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. I mean, Romero, I mean, I was only 13 or something. It's a big freaking deal. Parade All-American, could have gone wherever he wanted.
And before that, Parade All-Americans from Mississippi didn't go to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
It just didn't.
I mean, it came on the heels of the Amory kids picking Ole Miss the year before with Joe and Rufus and those guys.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I would put Rufus French on that.
Yeah. Because Joe goes to the military academy for a year, then ends up at Ole Miss. Rufus went straight after hit the 95 season. So his 96 would have been Rufus's freshman year at Ole Miss.
I would argue that he belongs on that pantheon because he could have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
I was working at the Oxford Eagle at the time. We did a 3-part series on the recruitment of Rufus French.
Did you really?
Did.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Be a decent time capsule going back in the day. Get some Bobby Hall quotes coming around.
I went to Amory and went to Bobby Hall's house.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
I was once a hardworking young journalist.
Were you?
I was.
I
think I made about $1.12 an hour at the Oxford Eagle. I mean, when you went back and counted it up, maybe $1.11.
Some former Eagle employee was telling me this. I don't remember which one it was, but, I mean, I'm talking not like last year or anything, but, I mean, in the somewhat recent history, their per diem was still like $3 for breakfast, $4 for lunch, $5 for dinner or something like that.
Per diem.
Yeah.
I don't remember one of those.
You don't remember a per diem?
No.
You were pre-per diem.
I think so.
You're in the pre-per diem phase.
Yeah, you've heard of pre-Madonnas? Yeah, I was a pre-per diem.
Pre-per diem, yeah. PRE-Madonna.
Pre-Madonna.
Pre-Madonna. That is an era. Archie was in the pre-Madonna era. Just saying.
He was.
Coming full circle here as we move
Romero
on.
Romero would have been in the Madonna era, right? Well, when was Madonna a big deal? Let's figure
this out. I mean, before that is when she started, obviously. But, yeah, was still hanging around at that point.
We're going down this. You never know where we're going on the podcast because God knows we don't. Madonna.
Did you know that tomorrow is her 60th birthday?
I was getting ready to tell you that. Madonna turns 60 tomorrow.
She only has a net worth between $600 and $800 million.
Yep. I'm looking for like time frame for her. She was big for a long time.
Yeah, but it was more 80s, right?
Yeah, I'm looking. 1986. Like a
Virgin was 84.
84. Into the Groove was 84. Borderline was 83. I remember that. That Vision Quest song, Crazy for You, was 85. So, Romero Miller was a post-Madonna.
Yeah, because, I mean, she was in A League of Their Own in 92 from a movie standpoint. Body of Evidence in 93.
Yeah, like Justify
Evita
My Love
in 96.
It was 89.
Yeah.
Then she took like what appears to be kind of a break. Don't Cry for Me, Argentina was 96. That's a big song. That makes Romero Miller a Madonna era athlete.
It's the end of the era. But
it's in that era though. That was a big deal. It was a big song.
So she rejuvenated it enough to put Romero in that category.
It's 96.
That's what you're telling me.
It's 96, and that was when Romero was a high school star.
Yeah.
So Romero was in the Madonna era.
That would have been Romero's senior year, I believe. Yeah, because he was 97, 98, 99, 2000. At Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think he's one that was almost a post-Madonna athlete, but I think in the end he is a Madonna athlete.
Yeah, his senior year, I believe his senior year, pretty sure, is when Amory, Shannon, and Ripley all went 10-1, and one of them missed the playoffs because back then you only took one from the two from the division. Amory beat Shannon, Shannon beat Ripley, Ripley beat Amory, so they had to go to tiebreaker at 10-1. Amory didn't get in, even though they had won the state title in 94-95, and then I believe Shannon might have won the state title in 96 in Romero's senior year. So anyway, what's meant to be history lesson there as we move forward with the podcast. You can ask Romero all these things.
I'll ask him, do you consider yourself, it'll be one of the first questions, do you consider yourself a post-Madonna player or a Madonna player?
I mean, maybe we get, you know, Corey Clark to like come and heckle him with the whole Amory Shannon thing while we're doing it.
That
so
would
we
be
can,
good.
Yeah. All right. I don't even know where I was going with today. I had some lead-ins.
I'm now reading the lyrics to Don't Cry for Me, Argentina.
Do I know that song?
Yeah. Come on, you know that song.
I don't know.
Pull it up. Play it.
Well, I will. We don't have headphones or anything yet. I'll have to do it when we talk to Gabe later. But, oh, I guess we do, don't we?
We do have headphones. I'm
sorry.
I'm holding headphones in my hand.
Sorry. Hold on. It's going to take a minute. Is that okay?
Yeah, it won't be easy. You'll think it's
all right,
strange.
While I'm looking for this, I'll
find
it. I'm
going to try to explain how I feel. This is deep.
All right, I'm going
to
find it in a second. First, though, how did you get a shout-out on the Peloton this morning?
Because I was up early. I got up a little before 5. I had some coffee, fed the dogs.
This is nowhere near what I asked. But
okay. I went upstairs, and I started my weightlifting stuff that I was doing, and I signed into my class. And the instructor's name today was Jennifer Jacobs.
What did she do before Peloton? That is a very common name, but it probably is not the person I'm thinking of.
My guess is she worked out a lot.
Okay.
May have been a dancer, actually, like on Broadway or something. I think some of their people used to be dancers.
All right, hold on. I got the song ready.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sorry. We'll come back to this question.
Okay. It's very dramatic.
Skip ahead a little bit. Or do I need the first?
I don't know. This is kind of there's a build up to this that is makes you kind of emotional.
What is this?
This is a song by Madonna. It's called Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. So I think it might be from the soundtrack of it. Is this in the movie or something?
Yeah, what movie?
I don't know.
What's the sound? Oh, it's from Evita. That's right, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Here we go.
It won't be easy. You'll think it's strange when I try to.
So far, I'm not into it.
This is what you were pubbing for?
I know the chorus where she says, "Don't cry for me, Argentina, the truth is."
How long before we
you.
Get there?
There's like,
you won't believe.
I mean,
she's got like a few more paragraphs here. She's going to say, although she's dressed up in the nines.
So you skip ahead 30 seconds?
Sixes and sevens with you. Yeah, skip like 20 seconds to see what happens.
I had to change.
Got one more whole stanza to go before she goes to Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. Here we go. She's going to say, I never expected
we're
it to be.
We're 2:15 into this song before we're getting to a chorus.
Well, she's going to, here you go. Have a little
patience. This is stupid.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
You recognize that right away.
The truth is I never.
I mean, it's not running music or anything, but it's interesting.
I was like 11.
My mad existence, I kept my promise. Don't keep your distance.
That's terrible.
She is pretty talented.
That's terrible.
You just don't appreciate art.
I'm sorry. I haven't been to 8 Coldplay concerts.
You're on
the person over here.
You're on the Ole Miss beat. You have to talk about pre and post Madonna, and to do that, you need to know about Madonna.
I have very little Madonna history. I'm sorry. So
you're on the Ole Miss beat.
Anyway,
I mean, everything is in one of those two eras: pre Madonna, post Madonna.
Okay. So point being, she just picked random people out of the class, and you were one of the people she chose this morning.
She likes my she like I was like one of four. She likes my username. She said
that's
it was
fair.
She said it was a great username, and it is an awesome username. And so I tweeted about it because it made me happy.
Why did it make you happy?
Because Jennifer Jacobs said hello. She didn't have to.
Well, she is paid to entertain.
Yeah, but she didn't say hello to all the 500 people in that class. It was just like me and a few others. It was like I felt special for a minute. I don't often.
You're getting a little close to like the plot from her. I mean, it is a person on a screen here, Neil. She's probably not going to mention you again in the morning.
No, that's okay. But for what? I mean, I don't feel special often. And so I had an opportunity this morning to feel special. And I tweeted about it, and it upset a couple people. It's like, get over it. There's this button that you hit to follow. All you have to do is hit it again.
I don't think you tagged her in the tweet.
I don't think she's on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm kind of impressed with her more by the minute. That's the case. So, anyway, okay. I just was curious how that went about.
That was the deal.
I don't assume schedules will mess this up, so I probably tell you too. I know I'm getting a lot of mascot apparel questions, not just over Romero's hat, but some other things as well. So we'll talk about those things on Thursday with Michael Thompson, who'll come on the show following our interview with Jeffrey that we have every week, and we'll discuss that. But
the reason that you may be confused about Jennifer Jacobs, if we're being completely honest here on the program,
yeah,
is there is another Jennifer Jacobs who is apparently very well known. She is a an adult
oh really
actress.
I don't think that would be what it was.
Of course not. No, you would never do such a thing.
Well, no, point being, I mean, you know, like Jenna Jameson and like, yeah, some of those, but like I don't think that's a name that sticks in my mind. It also is just alliteration, so it sounds like a very familiar name just because.
Yeah.
Now Neil's staring at the other Jennifer Jacobs photos on Twitter. I have a feeling, on Google, if you will.
Yeah, there are.
Sorry, Yahoo. We're owned by somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You good over there?
I'm fine.
All right. We're gonna go to Gabe here in a couple minutes. Before we do that, you just said we were talking about it earlier. Football practice today, football practice tomorrow. It's in the monotonous period of fall camp now. We have successfully gotten to that period where all practices kind of like look like each other at this point. Frankly, barring depth chart or injuries, you kind of just are getting to the first game at this point now.
Yes. They're going to have a scrimmage on Saturday.
It's not open to us.
It's not open to us.
It will make the message board. Don't worry.
Oh, absolutely. There are a handful of people who will be there that if something happens, you'll know.
And please do. Put it on our board.
Absolutely.
Talk about
it. Absolutely.
That was not a derogatory remark.
No. If they're going to open it up to people, you should put it all over the place.
Yeah.
At the end of that scrimmage, I have a suspicion that Matt Luke will go into, all right, let's get healthy. Let's get well. He basically talked about this on Monday. He's already at that balancing part of the camp.
Where every day you get done and nobody gets hurt, you go,
well, and you want to get physical. You want to install. Look, you can talk about last year being his first year. If anyone uses that, you're just not being fair. He was babysitting last year. I know he said he ran it like it was his program. You treat the interim boss different than you treat the boss. Is that fair? You treat the student teacher different than you treat the substitute teacher better than you treat the teacher.
Yeah.
When you're in high school and the really hard chemistry teacher is gone for the day and the substitute comes in who's the lady from up the street. I mean, no, you're not like throwing things at her, but come on, you're not really paying attention anymore. You're not worried about the ramifications of misbehaving in class.
No, I know what you mean. I have to stop you real quick here. I just saw this on Twitter.
Okay.
You and Jay Tate had a sprint?
Years and years ago.
Oh, it wasn't like last week.
Oh, no. It was when I was on the Auburn beat. Well, how did that come up?
Well, you had to point out that an instructor that will never meet you in real life mentioned you on the Peloton this morning. And Jay comes up and says, nobody aside from Mr. Jacobs knows who that is. Yay, us. You respond with a sarcastic remark, and Jay says, I'm doing just fine with my fitness journey, honey, and I already beat you in a sprint. How do we set up a video sprint of you guys now running head-to-head?
That's a good – that's a possibility.
We could do that.
I would like to.
He's coming to town here in a couple months.
He is. I'm sure we could make something
He's
happen.
In better shape, but I got to think you would outrun him.
As long as I got stretched out real good first, I think I would.
You think you got to get stretched out first?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm at that age where if you don't stretch before you sprint,
you pull eight things at once.
You're not going to be walking the next day.
Okay. I mean, he's been sprinting a lot.
Yeah.
He's dropped some kilos.
He has.
Yeah. Still have white hair.
I'm not scared. It's yellow.
Well, sorry. Yes, it was always yellow. But when's it stopping? What's he doing with it?
I can ask him these things on the next greatest pod in the South. Presented by Cathead Distillery. By the way, we'll be in Jackson, Jay and I, a week from today, August the 22nd. We're going to do a live show from Cathead in Jackson. We're going to do a football preview. I'm working on a couple of guests. And I'm sure it won't be super serious. So come out. And
who are you working on?
I don't want to say.
Okay. We'll go to Gabe in a second.
Maybe Jennifer Jacobs. One of the Jennifer Jacobs.
The third member of the drunk greatest pod in the South, Gabe DeArmond, will join us in 1 minute. First, I'll tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Locker Stockers. Let them take the hassle out of stocking your locker or your suite for this game day season. Customer places the order, and they handle purchase and delivery to the locker or suite before game day. Give them a call at 662-586-1487 or info@lockerstockers.com.
This podcast is also brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. Megan's the person to go to for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her site, MeganMPhillips.com. That's MeganMPhillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929. We're getting closer to tailgating season. As you know, Ole Miss and Southern Illinois, it's game two. It's game one in the Grove, game one in Oxford, September the 8th. It's the first of seven dates in Oxford. Alabama comes in a week later. You still have time. Get all your tailgating set up. 7 South celebrating 10 years of business this season. If you tailgate with them once, you'll never tailgate without them again. They'll set up your own personal gear. You can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. Get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the people there at 7 South at 7southtailgating.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000 and refund ATM fees nationwide. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And Rebel Nation, 2018's the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Gabe DeArmond on Billy's Pecans Hotline. Gabe, our boy, is all excited this morning. The Peloton instructor said hello to him on the video feed at like 4:45 this morning, and I mean it has brightened his entire day. He is one chipper, happy, bald-headed curmudgeon over here to my left this morning.
Yeah, had I had 60 more seconds, I was going to Google who Jennifer Jacobs is.
Oh, don't do that.
It's an interesting Google, I'll tell you that.
So not a good idea? Maybe go incognito mode before I do that?
I don't think this Jennifer Jacobs is on Twitter. There is at least one other Jennifer Jacobs who is quite popular who is on Twitter.
Okay. Good to know.
Look, here's the thing. It's very rare in my life that I get a lot of attention from women in general. And so if a woman says hello to me, it's a big deal.
Is this like a... I don't do the Peloton. Is this like a real woman or is this like a robot?
No, she's a real...
randomly picked you.
She's an absolutely real person.
Neil has a semi-clever username for Peloton, and she pointed out...
It's not semi-clever. It's fantastic.
That he has a good username is what happened.
It's a fantastic username.
You know what? It just takes small things to get us through the days at this point, so
exactly.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you, Gabe.
No problem.
And that's... I mean... We could have this Twitter debate. You're on my side on this. It's my Twitter. If you're following me for nothing but real-time Ole Miss updates, I'm probably not your guy. I'm going to link stuff back to our site for paying customers. If there's stuff that happens in a scrum that's going to be published by 400 people in a split second, I'll put that out as well. But I use Twitter for other stuff.
Yeah, and my favorite is the complaints about what I tweet about. And I just say, there's a little button that says follow. And, like, I did not force you to click it. And if you unclick it, it's not going to bother me because I get 0 cents from every single person that follows me on Twitter. So, you know, that's okay. It's not going to hurt my day. You know, I'll probably find somebody else to follow me. The Mizzou alumni band just followed me this morning. So that's really the biggest thing that's happened to me so far.
So we're going to get to maybe something of substance potentially in a second. What are the two or three what are the two or three Madonna songs that come to your mind?
Madonna, Vogue is big. Like a Virgin caused a big stir when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I would say probably was Like a Prayer, wasn't that video?
Oh, yeah.
Where she was like borderline pornography on MTV.
She turns 60 tomorrow, and we were discussing there is a running joke on our beat because a certain recruiting writer uses the word prima donna but spells it pre-Madonna.
Oh, yeah.
So we were discussing...
Well, I mean, that is kind of an error. It's kind of like DC. Pre-Madonna.
That's what we were discussing. We were discussing whether a former Ole Miss quarterback was in the Madonna era or if he was in the post-Madonna era. And Neil was really, really big and made me play a clip of Don't Cry For Me, Argentina as one of Madonna's top songs.
But here's the reason why. It was a hit song.
I wouldn't even have thought of that.
Yeah.
It was a hit song during the year that he was a high school senior. And so we were getting ready to classify him as a post-Madonna, but that song classified him as a Madonna.
That was in Evita, correct?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Which I did not see and know nothing about other than that song was in it. No, I mean, I'm dating myself, like Material Girl, you know, Vogue. That's more what I'm familiar with.
Evita is not a critical masterpiece by any chance. I just don't think this counts, Neil.
What are you? What era are you? If you only know Madonna because she was in League of Their Own.
Ooh, I mean that's 92. We looked that up. Neil, you're playing music that's not in our soundboard.
Yeah,
so
I'm trying to find out whether like was this like Gabe says Like a Prayer was almost like pornographic, and so I'm trying to determine
what we
viewed.
All right, while Neil's doing that, I actually want to talk a little golf. How was the PGA?
It was one of the top two sporting events I've ever attended. It was great on Saturday. I know Friday and Saturday set like attendance records, and it was we were out there for 12 hours on Saturday and followed Tiger and Rory and JT and Jason Day, Phil Mickelson. That was great, but the 3 hours on Sunday from probably about when Tiger birdied from the cart path on 9. The rest of that round until he, you know, blew 17 for the second straight day, it was unbelievable. We were about 50 yards from his approach on 15 that landed a foot away. And I mean, I legitimately think had that gone in, like St. Louis may have registered an earthquake at that point, because I know in golf, you don't root against guys, but make no mistake, every single person on that course was rooting against Brooks Koepka. He may be a great guy. I don't know. I kind of like the fact that he says he doesn't even like golf. He just plays it because he's good at it. But every single person on that course wanted to see the same thing for those 3 hours, and it was absolutely electric.
You know, the Ole Miss men's golf coach, Coach Brooks Koepka, when he was at Florida State, he knows him really, really well, and he's defended him a lot. And yeah, Brooks seems like a normal enough dude, a good dude. I tell you though, the chip on my shoulder just because Tiger got a lot of attention, it's either made up or shows a lack of an awareness that is hard to really fathom, in my opinion. That is an isolated incident, much different than, oh well, y'all showed Patrick Reed on a notable section and not me.
Wait, Koepka was upset that Tiger got the attention?
Yeah, he's made points about how, you know, he wins and still it's about this or that or whatever. It's always kind of a Rodney Dangerfield thing.
Well, I've always been of the belief that every guy on the PGA Tour should thank Tiger every single time they see him.
Yes.
Because Brooks Koepka made $1.8 million on Sunday. And he doesn't make 20% of that if Tiger Woods didn't do what Tiger Woods has done for golf in the last 20 years. I was having this discussion with somebody. I don't know what you guys think. There has maybe never been an individual athlete more important to his sport than Tiger Woods has been to golf.
Oh, zero. None. No one.
I mean, like Muhammad Ali was the one that somebody said made, and I can see that, but it was almost more the off the field stuff.
I mean, the only
that
people
made him such a huge figure.
The only things that immediately come to mind are, and they don't register as high as Tiger in golf, but just in the same pantheon, I guess, would be the combination of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird in professional basketball,
right.
What they did for the NBA. I mean, the NBA before them, the championships were on tape delay.
But
it's not Tiger.
Come along and elevate that.
Yeah, you know, it's not Tiger.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
And I thought the cool thing was, I'm a golf nerd. Like, I love it. I watch it on TV all the time. I watch non-major tournaments. But the cool thing to me was that Tiger is clearly, he's a different guy. I mean, he was humbled, waving to the gallery, waiting around to thank Koepka. And I saw a couple interviews where he actually seemed to get a little bit emotional about the whole thing. I mean, that doesn't happen. 2 years ago, he's pissed off at finishes second. He walks off course. You know, he's a different guy. And I just think it's cool that now kind of a new generation of sports fans gets to see what we all saw 15 years ago. Like, we weren't making it up. The guy really was this big a deal.
Yeah, the fist pump on 18 and the celebrating the occasion was one of the better poignant Tiger moments of, I didn't win, but I'm going to celebrate where I am, what I accomplished, and just kept being back in. And Neil and I talked about this the other day, he's finally relatable. He was always superhuman.
Yep.
And now he's somebody that you actually can connect to on a personal level with struggles and different things. And I'll tell you, I'll plug this while I'm talking to you. I was, this morning I was listening to the Trap Draw podcast, one of the no laying up ones, and they did everything that has happened to Tiger in the last 10 years, starting with, I guess, the night of the Escalade crash at Allworth. And there were 25 things that I had forgotten, as weird of a golf nerd as I am. I went, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, this dude has been to hell and back, even in things that aren't necessarily in the front of our mind right now.
I mean, a year ago, nobody knew if he'd ever play again, much less play well. And it's interesting. You mentioned the thing on 18, and this goes back to the whole just what it was so bizarre. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. So Tiger comes through 17. And at that point, we know he's not winning the tournament. So we're like, okay, he's going to go play 18. We're going to hang here and watch Ricky, who, by the way, hit the ball in somebody's backyard on 17, which was amazing. Like, it was at an angle. I don't know how it's a shot I would hit. But then we're going to hang around and watch Koepka. So many people had left to follow Tiger. We are standing on the ropes in the 17th fairway watching the PGA champ walk up because just nobody was there anymore. It was unreal.
Where do you stand on Ricky?
I love Ricky Fowler, and if majors were 54 holes, he would have won like seven of them. But he like the starting pitcher who can get you to the sixth, and then you better have Wade Davis in the bullpen because he's never going to the eighth. You know, really nice guy. He probably had the second most fans of anybody out there, I would say, including I tweeted a picture earlier this week of a guy who orange hat, orange pants, fully down to the terrible 70s porn mustache, looked like Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, Ricky understands capitalism. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. He gets it.
Yeah, and he's a real good golfer. He's just not, you know, some of these other guys.
He's not Patrick Reed at this point.
No, a little more likable, though.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Anyway, Neil, where are you going to go? I'm done with golf.
So, Maryland yesterday was fascinating. You rarely see – you've covered college athletics for a long time. I have, too. You rarely see a university just step up and accept blame in the form that Maryland did. I don't know that they really had a choice.
Yeah.
How much were you surprised by that? And then the second part of my question, what do you anticipate happening with DJ Durkin?
I mean, I was surprised because, like you said, nobody says it's our fault until the lawyers say it was your fault. And maybe Maryland's lawyers have told them, look, like, it's better to just do this, just settle this. Like, it's not going to go well. It's clearly our fault. And I saw some people that were angry. Well, the kid died 62 days ago. Why did it take you 2 months to apologize? I don't know. But at least they did, right? At least they didn't get up there and him. That didn't seem to me like an administration that is trying to find any way it can not to blame its football coach. And now, look, DJ Durkin isn't, you know, quite on the level of Urban Meyer. I think Durkin is probably in big trouble with his job, but I don't think it's because this kid died. I mean, these workouts and stuff, this is the strength staff, the training staff, they've laid this on. If DJ Durkin goes, I think it's much more because of all the other stuff, the hazing and just the culture around the program, much more than it is that this kid passed away during a workout.
Took a break in our talk with Gabe DiArmond to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. Speaking local underwriting and understands your market. Leader in condo financing in Oxford and the float down option. So lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based RE/MAX legacy realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market here better than he does. So if you're looking, go to his site. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. You can filter through by what you're looking for. The results are updated daily. Then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. He'll take care of the rest. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, I strongly suggest Grenada Nissan. It's located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals. If they don't have it on the lot, they'll get it. Gene and Sandy are awesome. I've dealt with them on numerous occasions. Every experience I've ever had with Grenada Nissan was fantastic. You'll love them too. Just go in and tell them you heard about them on the podcast. Heard about it at rebelgrove.com. And they'll take extra care of you. You'll get some Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com is the website. They have a great app as well, and they're there in downtown Holly Springs, 662-252-2321. They deliver wherever you are. And they're also now in Oxford with the same great local service. They're at G&M Pharmacy, again, on South Lamar. They deliver local in the Oxford area. Now back to Gabe DiArmond on the Billy's Pecans hotline.
He's got some quotes that are out, Durkin does, where he and Court are basically loving on each other and talking about how they are completely locked in step and no decisions made without the other's approval. That has to haunt Durkin, right? I don't see how Durkin. I hate to even get past the part of this where a young man died. That the story should really stop right there. But if you do try to spin it forward, how does DJ Durkin ever recruit again?
Yeah, I mean, Twitter now saves everything. I saw that quote in the George Schroeder column in USA Today yesterday, and I mean, you know, some people said, well, it was 2 years ago, and he just said what every coach said. Yeah, but he said it, and now it makes him look really bad. I was actually at a workout here in Columbia where a young man died in 2005, and I went back and read some stories about that. I mean, Missouri was found you know, they paid $2 million in a wrongful death lawsuit. They were basically found to have not properly followed procedure, basically everything that happened in Maryland. To my knowledge, like, nobody in charge lost their job over that. I think, and I was talking with a couple national guys yesterday. I mean, the biggest difference is, you know, it's 2018 versus 2005. And when I saw that story on Maryland, I just said, I covered a kid dying 13 years ago. We know so much more than we did 13 years ago. How the hell do you still let this happen?
You were at the workout when the kid died?
Culture? Yeah. How do we still have this culture around sports where, no, it's hard, so run harder? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, we have all this science that preaches about hydration and about recovery and about how you build strength and how you build endurance. And none of that science says push past the level of consciousness.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but look, there are still coaches that don't believe concussions are a real thing. You know, the game's under attack because you can't tackle somebody with your head without a helmet. It's crazy. I think it's the type of person that it takes to be a successful football coach. I mean, look, competitive people are drawn to sports, right? I think to get to the level these guys are at, I think they're probably almost all unhealthily competitive. And so their solution to everything has always just been work harder.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't work. And you know, until the rest of us quit glorifying the fact that, hey, they win football games and they wear our laundry, then I don't see how this stuff stops, because it's a culture of rules don't apply as long as you win enough football games.
Along those lines, the new mantra at Ohio State, another Big Ten program in trouble, is, well, hey, we didn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
What happens
there? I don't know how you feel. We've texted about this a little bit. More and more, and look, I think we agree, right? They're looking for any way they can to keep Urban Meyer, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and look, I listened to you and Jay last week. I kind of agree with Jay. Like, I'm not sure that I'm 100% that Urban Meyer did something that he deserves to be fired. He may have. If he did, you know, get rid of him. I mean, he shouldn't have kept the guy on his staff, I'm sure. But whatever. I'm not necessarily going to be outraged if they're able to show me some reason they should keep Urban. As I've followed this story, the longer it goes on, here's my thought. Like, we're so focused on Urban Meyer and should he have a job and all that. Let's get back to the point of this story, which is that Zach Smith is a piece of human garbage. Like, he's lost his job, and I'm good with that. Now, if Urban does too, if it's shown that Urban did something he should, I'm fine with that. But I'm not actually, like, stomping and screaming that Urban Meyer has to be fired. I don't feel like I know that for sure.
Let me ask you a question. A guy works for you. You have employees. A guy works for you, and you like him. He's been with you a long time. And you understand via text and such that he and his wife had a altercation. You don't want him to go to jail. You don't want him to go all that stuff. It's possible that the first time, it's possible that you say, hey, friend, I don't want to even use anybody's name. Hey, friend, this can't happen. You need to get help. You whatever. You can't do what you did. The second time it happens, Gabe, that person's not working for you anymore, and you're going to the authorities because you don't want to be in any shape, form, or fashion complicit in something that leads to something even more violent.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, look, I worked at the college TV station at the journalism school when I was in college, and literally the first day out there, here's what they told us. You're driving our vehicles, you're wearing our shirt, you're representing us. You can't maybe do some of the things that another normal college student does because you're going to lose your opportunity to be here. So you're right. If Urban knew and he covered it up, yeah, he should lose his job. I'm not sure he will, but he should. And I don't want to come off as the guy that is stumping for Urban to keep his job either. That's not my point at all. This whole thing is clearly what really irritates me about it is, you know, there are whatever 127 D1 fan bases crushing Ohio State fans right now. Oh, you just want to keep the guy because he wins football games. If he was your guy and he won like Urban Meyer, you'd be doing the same thing. And that is more than anything else what drives me nuts about covering this. And, you know, we see stories a lot that just make you think, God, is this really what I want to do? Because it's so filthy. And the hypocrisy of based on what polo a guy wears, you know, he's either a good or a bad guy. It's maddening, and I know it's never going to change. But, like, let's be honest, if I'm sure there were Ole Miss fans in what you guys went through that were just insistent that Hugh Freeze did nothing wrong because he took them to the Sugar Bowl.
They still exist.
Right?
It's a very small minority now, but there are still some out there that say, hey, you know, I don't care what he did in his personal life. I really don't. You know, I think the NCAA thing was a witch hunt. I know what I saw. He beat Alabama twice. We won a Sugar Bowl. We made a mistake in getting rid of him. There's absolutely that section of the fan base. Now, it's very small 2 years out, but yeah, it's there.
And so, yeah, I mean, the point is every fan base would do this. And, I mean, imagine if Hugh had won at the level – and I want to be clear for the Ole Miss people. Like, I'm not saying what Hugh Freeze did is on the level of what Urban Meyer is accused of doing. But if he had won at the level Urban did – I mean, if he'd won two national titles at Ole Miss or something, I guarantee that contingent would be much bigger today.
There's no doubt. I would have a lot more respect for Ohio State if they just came out and said, listen, we don't want to fire him. We're going to investigate this, and if we have to fire him, we'll fire him. But we don't want to fire him. He's 83-9. We've beaten Michigan's ass six times in a row. We've won a national title. He actually gives us a chance to catch Alabama. There's just not too many people out there that we can get who we think are better than him, and football is really important here. It makes a ton of money, and it's helped build our university, and we like him, and we're going to fight for him. And if we have to sell some other people down the river to keep him, we're going to do it. I mean, we're only going to fire him in the worst if we just hit the place where we have no choice, and so screw all the rest of you. I actually would, and I know you can't do that. I would respect that.
Here's the press release I want to see from Ohio State if they keep Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer will remain as coach. For some reason, you guys believed we were going to do an investigation. We're one of the top five programs in college football. We want to remain that way, and we don't really give a damn about any of the rest of it.
Yeah, for all of the reasons.
I mean, I'll respect it.
Absolutely.
Like, you're just telling the truth at that point.
It'll be a press release so replete with lies, and they'll fire Gene Smith and blame it on him. And sadly, and here's the part that I hate this more than I hate the part with Urban Meyer. There will be people, especially national media people, who will march in lockstep with that statement.
Oh, no question. No, you know who hopes most, I bet, that Ohio State keeps him is Stadium, which just hired Brett McMurphy yesterday. Because if he remains in his job, like, I feel like the rest of Brett McMurphy's career is just going to be Urban. You better not mess up. And not like in a vindictive way, you know, but just, hey, I'm paying attention.
Well, that's the other part that's fascinating with Ohio State, and we've talked about this on Greatest Pod in the South and other places. What's fascinating with Ohio State is you don't know what else Brett McMurphy has.
Right.
Because if it's ever been on Courtney Smith's phone, he has it.
Yeah, it sure appears that they, and it's just like leaking out a day at a time, right?
Yeah.
It's like every time Ohio State says something, it's like, oh, no, here's the contradictory evidence for that. So
it appears that she kept everything, and he has access to all of it. That's got to be the part that scares Ohio State half to death.
And so their deadline's coming up in like 2 days, right? This investigation, they told us it was going to be over in 2 weeks.
That's what they said. Coming up on starts, I guess, Friday. Yeah, they got.
That's a quality investigation to just know at the beginning. Like, here's how long it
takes. All right, last thing. How are the Tigers looking? World champs.
You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of these bowl predictions, which obviously we know are on August 14th carry a lot of weight. I think they're probably like an 8-4-ish type team, like a Music City Bowl type team. That's the expectation. The offense should put up a lot of points. They have a really good quarterback. I think I personally think they have a running back duo that's probably top three or four in the SEC. They've got some experience on the offensive line. Nobody knows for sure yet what to make of the defense, but this is kind of the year. Look, Drew Locke's leaving after this year. Emmanuel Hall's leaving. Terry Beckner's leaving. Therese Hall's leaving. Like, Barry Odom's got to make a little hay this year so that he can afford a step back next year, because I think everybody with any reasonable approach to things expects a step back next year. So, you know, they got a tough schedule. I mean, they play Georgia and Alabama, but, you know, they're in the SEC East. It's not murderer's row for 12 weeks in a row.
All right. Good visiting with you. Hope to talk to you soon. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Hope at least one more female speaks to you later today, Neil.
That'd be nice.
Later, Gabe.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks to Gabe for taking some time out of his schedule this morning to speak with us. The podcast is also brought to you by Stacy Berry, the real estate name to know in Memphis. She's a Keller Williams agent looking to help you find your special place in downtown, midtown, Germantown, or Collierville. Born and raised in the Bluff City, she knows the dynamic and unique intricacies the city has to offer. She wants to put you in the 901 today. So if you're a first-time home buyer looking to downsize, she'll evaluate, determine your value, and sell it for top dollar. So buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate. The Berry Home Team is the people to call. 901-481-6420, Stacy Lane Berry at kw.com, or theberryhometeam.com. Stacy with an E, the name to know in Memphis.
Guests join our podcast on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. We've told you all about Billy's Pecans goodies and stuff for tailgating. Maybe you're starting to think about corporate gifts, corporate thank yous. Billy's Pecans knows the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, or tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, they'll handle it all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, with items at every price point. You simply can't choose wrong. Additionally, you can customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to their round boxes, so your brand is front of mind. Their decadent flavors are there to back it up. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford Park Commission. Youth basketball registrations right around the corner. It starts on September the 4th. Sign up your son or daughter for one of the leagues. The age range is 5 to 15. The cost is $50. Last year, they had more than 600 people take part in the leagues, and the numbers are expected to be similar this year. So don't miss your opportunity when it comes time to sign up for OPC Youth Basketball. It's OxfordParkCommission.com.
Give MasterCuts a call at 662-607-7773 or online at MasterCutsLawn.com. Sign an annual contract. Tell them you heard about it on the podcast, and they'll take care of all your outdoor living area needs, including building maybe an outdoor kitchen for the fall and game day weekends, fences, decks, and much more from a construction standpoint. So again, MasterCuts, 662-607-7773. We got to a lot with Gabe there. We didn't get to this, though. I have a little bit of a bone to pick. He named about 15 podcasts on his Twitter account today that he recommends, and none of our MPW Digital family was listed in the list.
You're kidding me.
No.
Are there other podcasts?
Apparently there are many more, because Gabe spouted off a lot of them this morning.
Son of a... Oh, you know what? Speaking of podcasts, I know you're into this. Have you started the Slow Burn podcast on the
Clinton? I saw it. I've got to get in the right mindset, because this is right down my thing now. I'm a little obsessed with this story as a whole. So
Episode one was fantastic.
You know, they did first season on Watergate.
Yeah, it was great.
They do a great job of, if you know nothing, entertaining you, or if you're kind of an idiot with it like me, learning things as well. They're phenomenal at hitting kind of every intelligence level on the subject. So, Yeah, I haven't started it yet. I'm going down the list, but it's there. I'm there.
See,
it's one I've got to concentrate on, so I can't run to that. I can't work out to that. I've got to be focused on that.
You should come to Carson's soccer practice and walk while he's practicing soccer. That's what I do.
Do that now.
That's what I do. I listen to it while I walk. It's fantastic.
So walking, you're okay.
Running, I can't listen to a podcast. Walking, I can listen to a podcast. Like walking the dogs, I listen to podcasts.
See, I'll run to podcasts, but it's the one where if I miss a minute, who cares? I'm just listening for comedic value.
This takes you back to the very first day that the FBI met with Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. I consider myself pretty up to date with history, and I keep up with current events until recently when I'm just so turned off by them that I stop. But I thought I knew most everything there was to know about the Lewinsky matter.
Yeah.
In episode one, it was 50 minutes, I'd say. 25 to 30 of those minutes were things I didn't know.
Really?
Yes.
You're intriguing me more because there was a part of me that went, I've read everything I know to read.
They're really good. The Slate magazine's really good putting podcasts together. They're excellent. Very entertaining. I walked the whole time listening to that.
Yeah, she
flipped over, listened to a baseball game for a few minutes, and I was good.
She has become a niche celebrity, does a lot of nonprofit work, a lot of fundraising, a lot of advocacy these days for a lot of different topics. She's
an interesting character because, at the risk of spoiling episode one.
Yeah, don't do that now. Be careful on me.
But they make a kind of an argument that Monica Lewinsky may have actually saved the Clinton presidency.
I'm intrigued. I don't want to go any farther, but okay. I'm intrigued.
And I don't want to ruin it. What I just did didn't ruin it. It said it was kind of a tease. It's excellent. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
And I'm also on episode 9 of the RFK tapes.
Haven't done that.
It's pretty good.
That's not the area I'm as interested in, for whatever reason.
It's pretty good. I think I kind of know where it's going now, and I'm good with it because it's well done, and it's so easy to get into a conspiracy theory, and it's so difficult for people to accept that, nope, it was a one person, or he was maybe just nuts. What are you reading?
I was trying to find this because I couldn't decide whether I found it humorous or incredibly sad and almost kind of poor taste, so...
Okay.
It was on Monica Lewinsky's Twitter account a few days ago. She tweets constantly. She's a big-time tweeter. I follow her for a reason I'm not real sure of because I don't really have much interest in her topics. But it is, it's Avenue Q, the end, it's Sesame Street thing or whatever. And it's it says Avenue Q, and then there's like a little talk bubble, and it says, won the Tony, hugged Bill Clinton, been a clue on Jeopardy, it's been a wild 15 years. And she quote tweeted it with just a bunch of the eyeballs atop it. And I thought, it's humorous. And then I go, it's just kind of a line there that I'm a little uneasy with. So,
do you know where she lived when she was in Washington and the whole Clinton affair happened?
I've heard this, but I don't recall.
She lived in the Watergate Hotel.
Yeah.
Do you know who one of her very close neighbors was?
I don't.
Bob Dole.
Really?
Yes. She lived in her parents' condominium in the Watergate Hotel.
Yeah. Fascinating, if nothing else.
Her unit was not far at all from where the actual Watergate stuff happened.
Yeah, you know, I mean, political scandals are that's one of the niches I'm incredibly interested in.
I know,
that's
why I'm a little surprised you haven't jumped in yet.
I haven't. I mean, you know, that one, I mean, it got far less attention or anything, but just from a book standpoint, you know, John Edwards' guy that wrote the book was awesome. I mean, yeah. John Edwards... despicable human being, but
where's he now?
Just around. I don't think this is giving anything away. I cannot remember this guy's name that wrote this book, but it was his right hand man through the whole deal that took the lie where he told that John Edwards told his wife that it was this guy seeing whatever her name is instead, and or the baby was his or whatever, and all this stuff. And the book ends. This doesn't give anything away. It's a great book. It should be like, if you just have an interest in these type of things, it's really good. It ends with both of them at a Little League baseball game, sitting on opposite sides of the field, not speaking. John and this guy. Like, they both got kids playing Little League or whatever, and they both show up and just don't speak at this point.
I'm going to have to read that.
It's
what's it called?
I'm looking for it now. I don't know. Ryle Hunter is the girl. It's the woman.
Yeah. It's the middle of August.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll find it. But no, it's good because though, look, he might be full of crap. I believe this guy. So when I'm reading the memoir or whatever, I go, okay, I think this is actually what happened for the most part. I'm in. I think we're good here. And yeah, it was like Andrew or something like that. I'd find it. But
a little anyway. Breaking news. Back to football for a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yesterday, Loyal Narcisse left the LSU program.
That is true.
Today, Justin McMillan has announced his.
So we're down to Burroughs and Miles Brennan.
We are.
What do you think?
I've told you what I think. I've been very consistent with this for a while. If I'm wrong, I'll eat the crow. I think the end is very near at LSU.
Does Miles Brennan play for LSU this year?
Yeah.
No, I mean, is he on the field? Does he play?
Yeah.
You think he plays?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I don't think Burrow's going to be all that. Joe Burrow.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
I think LSU has a new coach next year. I've been very consistent. I could be wrong.
How Being bad do you think this guy's right. going to be?
He couldn't get on the field at Ohio State, and they let him go. Rule of thumb. When a kid's no good, when a kid can't get on the field at his place, he didn't do anything wrong, didn't break any rules, didn't get arrested. He just couldn't get on the field, and they let him go. That's usually because they don't think he can play.
All right, the book real quick is I'm just finishing this topic. I was looking forward to my Kindle, which I found. The Politician, an insider's account of John Edwards' pursuit of the presidency and the scandal that brought him down.
Okay, I'm going to read it.
That is it. It's Andrew Young.
He was really close to being the vice presidential nominee.
Oh, wow, man. He was really close to a lot of stuff. It goes through a lot of that. I mean, because he pops up in Game Change, that really good 2008 book with Clinton excellent. And Obama. I mean, awesome.
Excellent.
He pops up some there, but then you get a lot more detail here. And, I mean, there will be chapters in this book where when you think back and you know what you know now, that your skin just crawls as you read it and see some of the manipulation and different things from Edwards as he went through this with Hunter and Andrew Young. And I mean, Andrew Young has got to tell his family or whatever that he's basically being blackmailed by a presidential candidate to act like he is in an affair or having a child with a woman.
Yeah, and has to put his wife through that publicly.
So they had, if I remember the book correctly, like he says, they had the conversation in a McDonald's parking lot because he thought, like with the kids in the car and the drive-through people, it would be less hectic at the moment. Something like that.
God.
Yeah. So, anyway, there's your political podcast and books for the day. We might start a book of the month club or something as we continue to progress with our
it's a thought.
Our company's book of the month club. We could do it. We could have readings so that Neil get up and read chapters in front of everybody at an establishment around town.
I have had someone tell me that they would like for us weekly to pick a song and me read the lyrics. They have enjoyed it when I've read lyrics.
Just read the lyrics.
Read the lyrics. Remember, I read the lyrics to Tequila by Dan and Shay?
You did.
There were people who really enjoyed that. I have no idea why. I guess they found it funny.
I guess just because it comes off as like the period piece or whatever. I really thought Evita did better than that with critics and stuff. It was like 65%. It was very, very, very average as I looked for that while you were talking to Gabe. But anyway, okay.
A lot to learn today. I feel like we educated people today.
We did a lot today. We've talked about North Mississippi high school football rivalries. We've talked about adult film stars and more. So. Anyway,
today's one of those podcasts that people.
It's not even Friday.
They either love it or hate it. Tomorrow on the podcast, Jeffrey Wright and Michael Thompson.
I actually had a football topic I wanted to delve into today, and we completely were out of time for it. And we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
Got time.
Okay.
something inspired by the message board. I'll get there tomorrow. Anyway. All right. Practice today. Plenty at rebelgrove.com. We'll have a soft verbal at some point. I'm taping with Russell here in a little bit. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.